you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Rotten Tomatoes Is Wrong After Dark. I'm your girl, Jacqueline, joined again by Grace. And honestly,
hello.
Grace, I really...
I don't know why that was so high and weird. Like, hey!
No,
like,
it was good. It was, you were excited to be back.
Sorry. Heather Grace Hancock. But what, do you go by, like, he's calling
no.
you...
No.
I thought you were calling her Grace.
I go by Grace.
I go HGH sometimes.
Okay. Yeah, like, I was literally like, did you see the panic of me like... Bitch, why didn't you correct me?
It's so annoying and confusing because like my SAG name is like all three. And so they're like, Heather, here's your trailer. And I'm like, who? Like, and I'm like, oh, I go by Grace. And then the whole rest of the day, it's a shit show. Like everyone's like, terrible.
Well, that's why I called you Heather Grace and Grace on the I Know What You Did Last Summer episode because I want all of the fans that know you from seeing you on these shows and in these movies where you're billed as Heather Grace Hancock to know it's the same person.
Gotcha. I just hope that somebody's at home like, they're the... Oh, my God.
Worlds not colliding.
Yeah. Oh, you need to do like the Pam meme that they have. It's like, they're the same picture. This is a picture of Grace. This is a picture of Heather Grace. They're the same
and
picture.
People are like,
sorry. And Mark Ellis is also here, but we're just talking about her name.
Don't you dare. I know exactly why you intro'd the way you did. We've done the same exact intro since day one of this show, where if Jacqueline's hosting, it's, hey, I'm Jacqueline. Alongside with me, as always, is Mark. I do the same thing. I'm Mark alongside. I know why she didn't do it today.
Why?
Because I may have impersonated somebody else
at
my local mom and pop coffee shop. Known as Starbucks.
Yeah.
And I just want to take this time to apologize to Holly.
Where was she at, though? Where was she?
Taking your two Trenta iced teas.
You took two of her drinks?
Are they both hers, though? Or did you maybe get one of hers and one of yours?
The other one's in the car right now. So, look, long story. I had a late night last night. It was a good night. It was a late night. And I got home. Didn't even make it to the gym this morning. Woke up, got here on time. I got over the hill so quickly, I was like, I'm going to reward myself with some caffeine. So there's a Starbucks right there. And I do the mobile ordering, right? Because I'm not waiting in line.
No.
Like a newbie.
Like a plebe.
So I do my normal Trenta black iced tea. And I'm like, I think I'm going double today. I'm going to do one before the show.
I respect that.
And one after. So who else is going to have two towering titans of cups that are Trenta black iced teas? I walk in and I see them. Now in my head, I'm thinking, man, they really made those quick. But also,
you thief, you knew better.
I did not.
You were assuming
you literally
the Starbucks
like paid
on
and like,
Robertson,
oh, there they are.
The busiest Starbucks in Beverly Hills, was just waiting for you to walk in.
It's an easy drink to make. Other than black coffee, the black iced tea is the easiest drink to make there. So I figured made them quick, and I walk in and I grab them. And now this does happen sometimes, okay, is that they only have so many plastic cups that they like mix all the drinks in and stuff. So occasionally you get like
where
a
they
little-
mix the drinks?
Yeah, if somebody before me had a strawberry refresher or whatever, there's a chance that I get a little kick of strawberry in my iced tea.
So basically you're saying that Starbucks cleanliness practices suspect on a given day.
This is a B rating
day.
From the health department.
I am not downgrading them at all. This is the uneasy alliance that customers and employees have at America's favorite coffee chain. So I walk in and I just grab these two things because, of course, it's for me. Who else does this to themselves? And I'm like, man, they really got me with this sweetness. And it wasn't until about an hour and a half later, I was with Grace and Jacqueline, And I said, man, this is really, it tastes like there's some sweetener in this. And I look and it says Holly.
And she pointed out the name. She's just like, Grace did, yeah. Did you put it under the name of your dog, Molly? Logical thought.
Well, I thought that you said Molly and then they were like, okay, Holly, because you know how they don't listen and they don't
sometimes they have fun with the names. Yeah. And,
you know. Do you put your real name though?
Yeah.
It's put your real name?
Yeah.
In a Starbucks? I do not.
What do you put?
I would just put good. J.
My previous name that I used to use was Gabrielle, but unfortunately people thought that I was Gabriel. The name that I used shortly after that was Tessa. If you're catching a theme here.
I am.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I respect it. Yep. So if you had to guess my current name that is on my Starbucks order, it's probably
Beyonce.
Robin.
No. Anyway, does not matter. I'm never going to tell y'all because it's actually a nickname for someone because if I use this person's name, they would think that I was her.
Why do you do the nickname at all, though? Is it just for funsies or do they keep misspelling or mispronouncing Jacqueline?
No, because people call out your name in public and then somebody can come up to you afterwards pretending that they know you. And one of the things that I despise more than anything is somebody coming up to me afterwards pretending that they know me when they really don't.
That is so genius. That is so true. And then you're like, I know you? And then you like feel bad and then you're like uncomfortable. That's so genius.
Also, if you use this as like your quote unquote public name, like by the way, I stole this from my stepdad who is listening, by the way.
Hi, Steph.
My stepdad Kevin listens to every episode and I want to shout him out as one of my favorite listeners.
Cute.
Yeah, like really adorable that this man is like, does not know any of the things that we're talking about, by the way, is lost probably every day because he doesn't watch that many movies. The last movie, like, I think he got dragged to was by me, and that was in 97. Anyway, whole point being,
listen, I know you
he's
did
like,
last
I
summer.
Loved Young Guns.
Men in Black 2, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. No, but he goes by Jake, and like, he has a restaurant that he goes to every Tuesday, and he's been going to this restaurant every Tuesday while my mom is at bingo for at least 15 years.
God,
and
that is relationship goals.
And they think his name is Jake.
Well, it is now.
Are you telling me that that might not have been Norm's real name in Cheers?
Like, legitimately, like that. Like, they call him that. And he pays with a credit card with his name, but they call him Jake because that's the name that he gives. So he gives Jake every time he goes to any restaurant. The person I live with usually gives Mike. I give my current name,
I'm just saying I'm Mark
Same
Ellis.
Thing with hotels, too.
You're welcome to use my name if you want, and it's a treat because it's a very simple name, Mark. It's like nobody's going to mess that up.
They'll still find a way. They'll put like two R's or like a weird E.
The frustrating thing, the thing that drove me to the app to order on the app instead is because every time you order without fail, I'm like, okay, and what's the name? I say it's Mark. And then like, how do you spell that? I'm like, just say the goddamn name.
Yeah.
What other spellings? Like,
well,
I cannot.
Well, M-A-R-K-R-M-A-R-C. I appreciate you wanting to get it right, but like, look. Put the drink out there. Say we have an iced tea for Mark. Me and all the other Marks will get together and we'll have a meeting and we'll decide whose drink it is.
And see who deserves it. You're like, fuck you, Holly.
Seriously. Shout out.
Holly, I'm sorry.
This is good that you mentioned this to the Marks because you can appreciate this as a Mark is your name has a connotation that precedes you. Because somebody may hate a Mark.
God of war.
You know, somebody may hate a Mark and they'll just be like, well, you're a Mark now. Because it's like a popular enough name to where
it's like a Karen or a Brad or a Chad.
A Chad or Chad.
Yeah. It doesn't have that negative connotation, but if someone had a bad experience with a Mark, they're swearing off Marks. There's enough of them to like make
them think.
Yeah,
that's how like, I feel about
Tony, like Sagittarians. But what I was about to say is I did an interview with the Daniels. And, like, that's their name now. They're the Daniels. So, like.
Right, right.
And honestly, if they break up, they can use their individual names. But they have literally become quite awkward now because they kind of own the name that a lot of other people should have, like, claim to. Like, that have done better jobs of Daniels before. Like, he's just like, Daniel Craig, yeah, you were James Bond, but we own it now. You know what I mean? Like.
So it's kind of like, because, you know, Sting, his real name is Gordon.
Yeah.
Or
Gordon?
Yeah. Alice Cooper.
Sting is certainly better.
Yeah.
I think Alice Cooper's first name is Vince something, but like, when was the last time anybody called him something not Alice? You know?
Do you want to know something interesting about Ashton Kutcher? That's the one. 100 years ago, I used to work at the Coffee Bean in Brentwood, and he came in, and his real first name is Christopher.
Yes.
So he came in, and when he gave his name, he said Christopher.
And you're just like, no, you're not.
And I was like,
am I being punk?
I didn't give a shit. I was literally sitting on the counter in the back, like, reading Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, like, not working. Like, I didn't care at all. I was, like, 20 years old.
I have a hand-painted picture of exactly that scene. I kid you. Perfect.
Like, my boyfriend at the time would come to, like, visit me, and I wouldn't even know, because I'd be, like, reading, like, just letting everybody fail. But the girl who was at the front was literally like, oh, my God, does anyone ever tell you that you look like Ashton Kutcher? And all of us were
yes!
And he was just like, Yeah, sometimes. And then when he left, we were like, girl, that was
definitely asked.
You're dumb. And she's like, oh my God. It
Christopher
was very
Ashton
funny.
Kutcher.
Yeah. I actually did this the other day where I was at an award show and I recognized a guy that I thought was from the Yellowstone franchise. And it was not.
Oh no.
And it was not.
Oh no.
It's becoming increasingly tough to find somebody who's not in it's the MCU of TV. It's like who name an actor who's not in Yellowstone. And I'm like, oh crap.
Exactly. Yeah.
And but this was the kicker though, too. It's like I did recognize him as an actor. He just wasn't this like individual actor that I did it. I realized very quickly, it's like, oh, like every like white guy is doing this like beard. Mm-hmm.
They all look the same.
And so,
that happened to me with Adam Brody.
I do. I'm clean shaven now.
Because, like, everybody else isn't, yeah.
No,
I mean, I don't know if this is clean, but I like it.
I shaved yesterday.
I can see some.
I just think she wanted to give you some
shadow.
Dirt. She wanted to give you some dirt.
I prefer more shadow.
I have the Fred Flintstone, the Hanna-Barbera 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah.
But I shaved
just
yesterday.
Just, like, think real hard to make it darker. Like,
I went out for drinks with a young lady, and I had the question. you have too many reporters.
Wait a minute. So that's why you had a late night last night.
Oh!
I'm not saying.
Okay, we're connecting the clues right now. Anything okay, happens. At 9:37 p.m.
Look, I hooked up with Holly, and then I stole her iced tea. Okay? Is that what you want to hear? It's the truth.
Holly's drinking your disgusting iced tea, and she's like, worth it.
But I did have that. I did have that, like, existential question that a dude my age faces, because she's younger, and so it's like, okay, do I, because I have, like, the gray stubble. And
have
like
you seen Ken Napsok's face?
So, our dear friend, your comedy store patio buddy, is also her roommate.
Oh,
so
really?
It all works.
Not her roommate.
I don't know what people do behind closed doors.
We've been non-platonic partners
for some time now. Yes.
But like, so I was like, do I shave or do, and I kind of just like having a clean shaven face. Like,
okay.
The beard, yeah, it's nice in some faces, but now I just want to be clean shaven, Mark. So
I love
that's
that
what
you
I
love
with.
That for you.
Yeah.
But you're, no. You guys are like, nah, grow it back ASAP.
I just like Ken is like my type. Like I just, when he shaves, I'm like, all right, dealing with this for about a week. Like, not my favorite.
Can I
thing.
Say this though, for the guy, the person that lives in my house?
Mm-hmm.
So he's
is it a non-platonic?
It's definitely non-platonic, but
okay,
I don't like people knowing this person's name unless they actually know me. For the same reason, I don't like people knowing my name unless they actually know me. Like, I don't know you like that. Like, these are personal situations.
That's a good barometer too. Like, if somebody calls me Heather, I'm like, who the fuck
are
you? Like, I'm like,
honestly, yes.
I bet Jacqueline's new Starbucks name is Mandalorian.
It's definitely not. But no, I'm not, like, he's growing his hair out, and I'm just like, I don't want to, like, encourage it.
Growing his,
on the head?
His head
yeah,
hair out?
Yeah, it's like, he's going for the tousled, you know, getting into my zaddy era.
He's got
that salt and pepper thing going.
Yeah,
so I'm trying to explain to him why he needs to continue
I support
this.
It wholeheartedly.
Yeah, he's got a good head of lettuce.
Yeah, so I'm like, continue this. Like,
okay.
Own it. You're getting into the age where the men that keep that hairline gets few and far between, so just own it.
Zaddy era is where you want to be.
Well, it begs the question, though, because there's, you know, it's not like a generation gap, but, like, here's the question I have for and we'll talk about some of the TV shows coming out, and the Oscars just happened as of the you know, dropping of this episode, so maybe we'll have some flashback post predictions slash
pre-post
congratulations. Yeah,
yeah. Pre-post takes.
Congrats, Brendan Fraser. Maybe.
I mean, we'll talk about it in a second, but go ahead.
Is there ever been someone in your life that you're like, I just can't really hang out with this person the way I used to now that I know that they hate a movie that I love?
Oh, hate a movie that you love.
Because, like, there's some hot takes about Top Gun Maverick, and I'm like, can I?
No, but I might put a boundary.
Okay.
Just, maybe, like, take a step back for
we don't
a bit.
Bring this movie up at dinner.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Because,
I think,
like, the classic thing is, like—
But maybe it depends,
like,
on the film.
Is I can't go out with someone who hasn't seen Star Wars. Like, I'm fine if you haven't seen something.
No.
I'm fine if you have not experienced a movie yet. And I'm honestly, this isn't necessarily about me, because I can get over— It's a movie.
He's
I'll
like,
live.
Look, once again, I was up late last night.
I was up late. I needed two iced teas this morning. But I'm just wondering if there's, like, a movie in y'all's life that is such a treasured classic in your heart that it's a deal breaker if you meet somebody and they're like, nope, can't. No. I hate
Actually,
that movie.
I take it back. I feel like if somebody was like, I don't like the Lord of the Rings trilogy, I would have a hard time understanding their brain.
Okay.
So I probably wouldn't want to, like, lay next to them.
I think Back to the Future is the one for me.
I was going to say, really? Yeah, I was like, Back to the Future
it's too. It's just such a fun, like, you don't have to love it. Or, like, quote every line, but it's like, how do you hate that movie?
I think I feel that way about Beyonce, not about any movies. Like, that's legitimately, like, if you, yeah, if you, like, are, like, indifferent to Beyonce, mm-hmm. or, like, it's not my type of music, or, like, this is not something I would pay for, whatever. But if you're literally looking at that woman's body of work and not being, like, I mean, damn, I'm looking she at did that.
The body as well.
I'm literally, like, I don't trust you. Like, I just don't. Like, you, there's something anti-Black inherent in you, because that woman is just the embodiment of Black women. Of, like, legitimately.
Powerful, right. Must have a sex goddess.
You know what I mean? Like, she is so representative of what Black women, especially me, like, you know, grown, like, raised God-fearing from Texas Black woman. Like, legitimately, she
was. Are we going to have to talk about trauma again?
Seriously. But this, so, like, so that's, like, her. And so it's, like, if you really despise that, I'm, like, you really probably don't like Black women. So, you know, I'm, like, maybe I should stay away. Again, not saying that that is, like, disliking Beyonce is not a litmus test for me hating you. But I need to know why you dislike her.
Like, it's okay if you didn't understand the messaging in Lemonade.
Yes.
But you need there has to be some appreciation anyway.
Same way I feel about La La Land.
It's like when somebody says that they're not a dog person, I'm like, you're a psychopath.
Well, this is my thing. If you're not a dog person, fine. You're a cat person. But if you're like, I don't understand the concept of animals, I worry about you.
Oh,
like,
I do for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, and
I'm
that's
like,
what
that's
I mean.
Like, that's sociopathy.
This is a little bit weird. So that's where I am.
Yeah, because I identified for a brief period, as more of a cat person. Simply
that
because I hadn't met Molly or her mom yet.
I could see that for you.
And the only reason I said that is because in my twisted brain, I thought that cats were easier to maintain. They might still be easier at, like, to house as pets because they just kind
of leave them
take
for
care of themselves.
Of time.
But they're not less maintenance, especially cats.
And they
are
also
way more,
smell the house up with the way more with the
but
kittler.
Like, their doo doo is in your home at all times.
At all times.
Like, I can't be down.
Also, this is.
I'm a dog. I'm healed. I'm a dog person.
I'm a doo doo free dog person as well.
I like cats. I like dogs. Dogs' personalities are more forgiving. But if you find a cat with a cool personality, it can literally be like your friend. Like,
it can be almost as good as a dog.
Like, shut up. A dog's whole personality is love me, I want to be near you, and let's walk. Like, there's range.
No, you
a
have
cat
to meet
will
Francis.
Be pissy with you.
Yes,
like, a
it
cat will
yeah.
legitimately be like, you're really on that
be
today,
like,
aren't
shut
you?
Shut the fuck up. And I'm like, all right, you're right, you're right.
Be like, you don't need to be doing this. Cats, like, come onto your, like, keyboards to, like, tell you that you don't need to be typing anymore.
Ironically, the most well-behaved, like, sort of ride their normal line of emotion, don't get too high, too low cats that I see with people are those weirdos that, like, grow up with a Bengal tiger in their house. You know, like when you see, like, a baby walking with a tiger, like, what the hell's going on in that house? But the tiger is just, like, cool and just chill.
Yeah.
And I don't think tigers and lions maybe I'll even put panthers in there, go through the same emotional up and downs that a house cat goes through.
Really?
Well, because cats are supposed to be wild and house kitties are like, well, this is kind of lame, but yeah, feed me. You work for me.
Okay. So cats are like, they moved out of town to chase a dream that never came true.
Yes.
House cats are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the
yeah.
dream was to be like a lion or a tiger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I have too much trauma. I need something to just love me unconditionally. So so I have two chihuahuas because they are obsessed with me. Like,
yeah, they're
big
fans.
I don't mean to, like, but yeah.
Don't try to pet Grace's chihuahuas when she's holding them.
Really?
Look, chihuahuas are very, very, very fiercely loyal. They're also, like, they have, you know, like, small puppy syndrome. And they're very, like, one-person dogs. So, obviously, it's me.
Does Molly cry for either one of you?
Yeah. Whenever she's with one of us, she'll cry for the other one.
Is that the way that it works?
She loves playing us against each other. Yeah.
Because I was just going to tell
smart.
You this. So, obviously, my dog has not switched allegiances. He will, like, pretend that he has dual allegiances. But if there's ever a moment where, like, we are divided, as in, like, I'm going out of town,
oh.
or, like, when I had COVID and I was sick and I was in the other bedroom, the dog came to my bedroom, and, like, I'm not going to lie to you, that hurt him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We've had legitimate fights about this. If Francis, like, because she always goes into bed before we do because we have an electric blanket because we're 90.
And Francis is the younger one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little white one.
Yeah.
And she, if depending on whose side of the bed she curls up in, it really determines how the rest of the evening goes.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Molly thinks that she's like Littlefinger from Game of Thrones, where she's like seeing everything five steps ahead. She telegraphs it, though, because there was a period of time for a couple years where me and her mom lived like relatively close to each other, like a few blocks away. And Molly knew this like very quickly, and because like I could walk to her mom's place and she could walk her to my place, so it was like that old 90s commercial for stovetop stuffing where the kids would get together and they'd cook up a scheme like, wait, your mom's making stovetop tonight, my mom's making stovetop tonight, but like my dinner's at 6, yours is at 7, so they'd come over to each other's houses so they could have two stovetops.
Yeah.
That's what Molly would do. She would have two breakfasts, two lunches,
100%.
Two dinners.
Oh, I respect that.
Yeah.
And my dog doesn't want that. My dog barely wants to eat.
Oh.
Like, he's a nervous
Wait, what kind of dog
That's
is
a keeper
he?
You got.
He's a Maltese poodle.
Oh, no.
And he's just, like, a very nervous dog. Like, honestly, like, he needs therapy. Like, he's just a nervous dog.
Sure.
Like, so the reason why he doesn't eat is because the all day he's just like, what's going on?
Yeah, you
Do
and
you
I.
Do you give him Prozac?
Huh? No.
just chop it up.
My chihuahuas.
He's on weed.
Okay, good.
Is he really?
He's on weed, yeah.
What's his name?
V-Lou.
Yeah, it took V-Lou maybe most of the... Remember, Jacqueline and I had a screener for the Keanu Reeves Winona Ryder, like, wedding wine country movie.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And we watched it here in the office.
With
and she brought
dog.
It. First time I met the dog. And the dog warmed up to me by the time the end credits were rolling.
Yeah.
Like, it took me the entire movie. You know, enjoyable romp. And then the dog finally came over and was like, okay, I'll accept
like,
you.
For and
that.
Now they're cool now.
Yeah.
But can you imagine what it's like... Dude lives in the house and he's like, you're mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah.
But I just want you to know that one.
Yeah. That's
yeah,
the one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he does it all the time. Like he doesn't do
that.
Like Molly does it. He doesn't like the dog is against
yeah.
us. Like it's not like yours where it's like mutually beneficial. My dog is way more petty. My dog is like letting the person in my house know you're a visitor.
I love it.
If it comes
you're
down
a visitor,
to it,
if
I
it
will
comes
eat
down
you
to it,
and not mom.
It's not a choice.
Yeah.
I like both of you. But don't make me
but
choose.
But if we had to get right
losing.
To it.
It's yeah. really interesting because the Mandalorian is now in season three, about to be in season three. It is in season
it
three.
It is,
now.
Yeah.
And
Yay.
I feel like my storyline with Molly is very similar to Mando. Because Mando's just this like dude who just wanted to like do his missions and like that's all I want to do. I'm gonna go get paid. I'm gonna
yeah.
go to different comedy clubs in outer space.
Sure.
I'm gonna work the rooms. I'm gonna just live by myself. Pretty much the way that I set my life up. And then this goddamn dog comes into
accurate.
The picture. Grogu / Molly comes in.
And we're all just like, oh!
And your heart just melts. You don't want to
Dead.
Admit it at first. Because like
yeah.
the famous story is when I first met Molly's mom and she started coming over. And then she's like, well, I have a dog and like, I want you to meet the dog. That was the litmus test, by the way.
Oh,
for me, it was like, if the dog likes me, because she's like, she usually doesn't like men. And I'm like, well,
yeah.
she's not going to like me.
Most dogs don't, by the way.
Yeah.
yeah.
Most humans don't either. But yeah, it's valid.
Molly's mom Damn. Says that Molly has a good barometer for who's a good guy and who's a bad guy.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Molly did warm to me. But Molly came over to my place and it was the first time in my life I could afford like a nice luxury apartment. And I'm like, I don't want the dog here smelling things up, getting hair everywhere. And so I told her mom this and she's never let me forget it. Molly can come over once a week. I said that. And then one night with the dog, I was like, yeah.
You're like, can she move here? Can we change yeah. her address to my address? Thanks.
Now she's the child.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
This is the question.
And I still go on my space missions. And
yeah.
sometimes she's
yeah.
sometimes she
but
is.
You sometimes have a satchel.
Absolutely.
The cutest
sometimes
thing I've
she's
ever
riding.
Seen.
Yeah.
They go on vacations together. They have a whole dynamic. It's like a love story that is 20
yeah.
chapters deep.
Yeah.
My thing to you is, you have said when this chapter of Molly is done,
mm-hmm.
because Molly's definitely an older dog.
And she's right. She's... Many, many chapters left in the book.
Yeah. But when those chapters are done, you said you won't get another dog.
For
I
a minute,
have a feeling.
For a minute.
So, wait a minute. You said that you wouldn't get one ever.
I never said
Liar!
Never.
Liar! You have so come around. I'm never going to let you forget this. You were like, no, I don't think so. Originally, you said, no, I don't think so. I remember this because you said, I don't want to do it again.
I don't want to do
oh,
it
God,
right away
I, that
again.
That I get. Yeah, I couldn't get another dog
you
after
are,
Ratsy ooh, for a very
Brian,
long time.
Find the quotes. I know
he
said
it. You asked me that question right after I was quoted with the number that her surgery was going to cost in
ooh,
US
how much
dollars.
Was it? Tell me.
They told me it's going to be between $8,000 to $12,000 to get her spleen out. And immediately I thought, okay, well, that's if you have a doctor do it. I was pretty good at operation as a kid. All right, I can get the elbow bone
like,
out without buzzing.
I got it.
So yeah, so I'm just thinking like financially, it's a big investment. They're so cute.
Oh my God,
my heart will melt. And so if I'm walking down the wrong street at the wrong time, and there's like a pet store, they're having adoption day, I'm screwed. Now I have this thing with me for the next
yeah.
15 to 20 years.
Oh yeah,
so it's
well,
going
that's how
to
it
happen.
Works. It's
like
going
when you
to see
happen.
The one, you're like the first time I ever saw Francis, I literally and I like don't cry like. Part of the reason why I'm in therapy is to like feel my feelings because I don't want to. And I literally burst into tears and I went into Ken's office and I was like, she's so special. Like, it was so weird. I just
Aww.
Knew that she was our dog and we got her.
No, they melt
so
your
know.
Heart.
Ken's in the middle doing his Star Wars podcast.
Yeah.
Like, okay. And Grace Hancock
Grace
joining the show.
Crying over some Instagram video. Okay.
Oh, I wish, I feel like the dynamic in my house would be so much happier if I could do that because I'm not that way. Mine was the opposite. I kind of got the dog with this like, oh, I want a dog and this is going to be great and I want to have it. And then the first time the dog ever scared me with its mortality, I stared at it for like a day. Like, you flipping.
Yeah, it's
it
very
was like,
rude.
It was like, it was in my old apartment back in Larchmont, and like we're walking up the thing and it was like the dog was young enough to where it wasn't, it didn't know you can't run across the street, right? Like, and I just
set him down. I still have nightmares.
Set him down. He started to run. I screamed like blood curdling final girl scream, and he stopped. I grab him. I hold him, and I'm like shaking on the edge. He can find it like Santa Monica practically. Like, oh my God, what's wrong with you? And then I was like, I brought you into my house to destroy me, you asshole.
Yeah, 100%.
I was so, it was like a real moment of realization and anger.
Yeah.
And like for a full day, I was like mad at myself. But then we're good now.
That's like, so some people have like the dream where they're drowning or like they're stuck in quicksand or everybody is clothed and they're naked. Whatever their recurring thing is. Mine is just watching Molly and she gets off the leash and she just like runs across the street.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And I scream, like the scream of all screams.
Yeah.
And then I wake up and I see her in her bed and she's just like sipping bone broth like Baby Yoda.
Isn't it the stupidest? Like, that is the worst, actually. When
with her hoodie, she's just like
just staring at me like, you dumb human.
When you're panicked about your dog and your dog's looking at you like, what? Like, what is wrong with you?
I know.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's like, Baxter's 16 and a half and I'm like, you listen here. You listen to me right now. Like, figure it out. Uh-huh. Sell your soul to Satan. I don't give a shit.
Cast
figure
it
out. Be immortal.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First, he ruined Twitter. Now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You mentioned Mando, though, and it's funny because the reason why I asked you about whether or not you would get another dog is because I think, like Mando, like his other protection mission, The Last of Us, you've built a hole in your heart now. Like, you've built it. It's there. It's been filled for 15 years by Molly.
Yeah.
It's not like the hole is going to close over if Molly leaves. Like, you're always going to be a dad.
It doesn't heal up.
Look at what Joel's showing, like, in the show. He's like, he's like, what did that guy say? And I know you're not watching The Last of Us, but there was one episode.
Because I don't want to feel my feelings.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's really good, though, I will say. Regardless of that. I will say Craig Mazel is a guy that's been to therapy, and for as much as he put you through, he guides you through it. Like, I can tell that.
All right.
More on that later, but.
That's helpful.
The deal with that is, he says, he's like, you may not be her father, but you're somebody's father. Mm-hmm. Like, you're always going to be a dog dad.
Yeah, that's why I can't get too close to any, like, tiny humans.
Oh, yeah, I don't have time for that.
That's why I'm an uncle, and so I have, like, the niece and the nephews, and I love them, but it's like, I'm going to come visit you. You don't come visit Uncle Mark. Because if I have them in my care in L.A., then I think it would legit be tough to give them up. Like, we'd go to Disneyland, like, we'd go, you know, they think I'm the coolest.
You're just, like, holding them, you're like, okay, go home.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the scene in Last of Us where it's like, okay, where they ask Ellie, who do you want to go with you through this scary, treacherous terrain? And immediately she's like, that dude.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid I'm going to be that dude.
That's so funny.
You know, yeah.
You know what's even funnier about that scene is that scene, he has no reason to be there. He's pretending like he doesn't want to be the one to rescue her. He's like, I was supposed to leave, but I'm here, so I'm giving you a choice. A choice that she didn't have, that he just gave her because he knew what she was going to choose.
It's a really good show. And if you wanted to know what a mall in the 90s would look like if it was shut down for 20 years, Whoa.
They did a great job.
Weirdly, that is on my bucket list, so I guess I'll have to.
It's so cool.
One last enticing for this. Did you watch Chernobyl?
No.
Okay. So this
here's the thing. I don't like post-apocalyptic stuff.
Okay.
That's not my jam. Like, that stuff actually freaks me out because to me, that actually feels very real.
Well, you have a very interesting dynamic when it comes to your taste in art because you like a lot of horror stuff, but then some stuff that you would associate with horror, like the post-apocalyptic, like maybe the zombies or what the mushroom people in The Last of Us, that doesn't get into your Venn diagram at all.
No, because it's like an existential thing. I'm like,
it's a much more real. Well, that's the part I think that you'd find attractive in this because unlike both Chernobyl and The Last of Us, the thing I was going to say, they do a great job in proving that in the most insane and heightened disasters, the only thing that matters is how we treat each other, how we show up for each other, right? Yeah, exactly.
Like, this is why I don't watch this.
I know. I'm like,
it's not really about like how the world went to shit. It's not really about any
of
that.
It's like how the people came together in spite of
it. Not even how the people came together. What becomes important when the things that we're like distracting ourselves about
like
what
the
is
dumb
important
shit, like,
stops becoming important. Like that's really what these shows are about. And that's the way that it is with Chernobyl. That's the way it was with Last of Us. And again, like I said, for a man, don't know Craig Mazin at all, but he writes with supreme emotional intelligence. There's not a single character that he writes where you cannot trace both their ethos and it makes sense through every decision that they make. He's like, I think a perfect director. And you ever have some of these like, that does not make sense at all that that character would do that. And you're just like, why is this person doing
that?
His is the opposite. They will do things that you will find surprising, but he will show you how it completely makes sense. Like, that's a damn
hearing
writer.
You
that's
talk like about The Last of Us, a show that I watch every week now, it makes me like it even more. Like, I'm too stupid to uncover some of these truths that Jacqueline is like, she's literally you're holding
like,
my hand.
Mark's over here like, holy shit.
Yeah, she's telling me how to turn the flashlight on my iPhone and like, look at all these dark corners of the show that really I now find even more rewarding. That's why I need to check out Chernobyl, but I will say, there's a big difference.
There is a very big difference.
Chernobyl happened.
Happened, absolutely happened. This is, and that's the craziest thing about Chernobyl is that it did happen. But everything that you see, as fantastical as it was so much worse.
I know,
it was so much worse than what they showed. Mm-hmm. It's almost like The Crown in that respect, I think. It's like, this stuff happened, but like you're not seeing in any way, I think, of how gruesome it was for the individuals that lived it.
I think that's why we 100%. Are so spoiled with TV now, because like back in the day, back in the 90s, like, you know, when I was in high school, our big family like TV watching night was Thursday, right? It was the NBC Thursday night lineup. It was Friends and then Seinfeld and then ER. But we never watched ER because like my dad was, you know, probably coming home from the ER around that time.
That would be
I don't want to watch a doctor. But now we have so many shows you can kind of pinball back and forth. Like you can just completely escape with something like The Mandalorian. You can find yourself in The Mandalorian.
I think you actually are The Mandalorian.
I think I might be.
Yeah.
Well, apparently we covered before the cameras rolled that I'm not as, I don't have the same sex appeal quality as Pedro Pascal.
I did not say that.
Which
I
is said confusing
that
to me.
No.
But he's like the zaddy of all zaddies. It's not a reflection
not
on your
his
zaddiness.
Crown.
Yeah.
You're a regular dude. Because you're like, he's a regular looking dude. I said, but he's a regular looking dude from Chile whose name is Jose Pedro.
And he's like super funny.
A regular dude from Chile named Jose Pedro, superhero in the United States. I don't make the rules.
Yeah. It's the voice too.
I was described recently as wholesome.
Oh, damn. Sorry.
That's not that you don't equate that with.
I just gave you a Kevin
sexiness.
Hart. I feel so bad. I just Kevin Harted you.
Nobody feels a tinge in their pants when you hear the term wholesome.
Who was it? Your mom?
I am melting.
It was not my mom.
Okay.
It was not my mom.
It wasn't your friend from last night.
Wait, was
right?
This a girl?
Might have been the friend from last night.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Okay. I don't want to talk
to you. It's all over.
No, it's fine. It's good.
Actually, no.
We can work through this.
In this economy, being wholesome is a good place to be. In this dating
economy,
I will take wholesome over.
I'm not saying I'm not wholesome with other, you know, I have money when the dog isn't taking it.
Yeah. We can. Yeah, I don't.
No.
We're gonna pull through.
Honestly,
I see a way forward.
You guys,
the branding
you guys
crime.
Are acting like two doctors that are walking out of the ER into the waiting room to try to find a way to tell me that we can't save him.
Shut up.
It's not that dire.
Mark has been diagnosed with wholesome, and we don't think he's ever going to be a bounty hunter in a galaxy far, far away.
But no, what we're saying is Mark has been diagnosed with wholesome. He's going to live a great wholesome life, and nobody alone. Should shame him
You're
for feeling that.
Not alone. Of my Prozac for my chihuahua.
Wait. Listen, sir, you know who else is wholesome? Ted Lasso. That is a wholesome,
don't compare
kind
me to Ted
show.
Lasso.
And your bitches are dropping panties for Coach. Bitches are dropping panties.
I prefer his assistant coach.
This is fair.
I like the assistant coach.
He's very similar to your partner, actually.
Very friendly roommate. Yeah.
Yes, you're very friendly roommate. Because
Ken can be wholesome if you get under the grub.
No, but the assistant coach and Ken should dress as that assistant coach for like Christmas. They share very similar.
Why not
DNA.
Halloween? Why Christmas?
Yeah, oh, sorry, did I say Halloween? Did I say Christmas?
I was
sorry.
Like, what is he wearing?
Halloween, sorry.
Every holiday.
One of the flipping holidays, sorry.
For a minute, I thought you knew that Grace and Ken had this weird Christmas tradition that not even I knew about. Like, they dress up on Christmas.
No, we're so fucking curmudgeon-y. Like,
that
we don't do shit.
Jump there. No, I meant for Halloween, like, but he could be the coach. I just want to say something about Ted Lasso, though. That's, like, a very wholesome show, and people are, like, all about it. Like, just the clip of a
Season
trailer.
Season 3, hitting? Yeah.
Yeah, they were just, like, getting all kinds of excited about it, and that's just that's a show about kindness, believing, feeling your feelings.
The
you don't watch
opposite
that one. That's
of Succession.
Yeah, the very opposite.
Which is also, we get a new Succession in, like, 10 days.
New and final.
Yeah, okay, so the final thing hurts a little bit to
and
my
Barry.
Core. Because I've enjoyed the show. We will get to your boy.
No.
Barry's not wholesome.
No, Barry's not wholesome, but I was just saying, like, both of those shows announced
cool,
a fourth and final,
and
season,
final season
together.
Yeah.
Like, that was the kicker that I thought was very interesting with that news. Because, yes, Succession is coming back. Our favorite, let's go eat the rich, but watch them as they, you know, jerk each other off
each other.
Yeah. and cannibalize each other before they get there. But the craziest thing was that they said that these are going to be the final seasons, which... I'm not going to say this, but Jesse Armstrong has a big deal with HBO Max. I know Bill Hader had a deal with HBO Max. Mm-hmm. And just these shows ending does not make sense to me if they have continuing agreements with that.
Do you feel like it's like a budget issue?
I think it's a confidence issue.
Hmm. Both shows have rabid fan bases.
They have rabid fan bases, but I would say, do those creators want to continue working under the new...
Sure. It's a fair question.
Troubling that, again, don't know anything for sure.
Yeah, there's some
but
weird stuff.
Two
going
shows
on.
That are two of their most wildly popular shows.
Like flagship shows, yeah.
Flagship shows saying that, hey, we don't know if we want to be here. Like, I just want to remind people, you know, they took shows off of HBO Max very unceremoniously.
There was a movie.
Yeah.
That
and
didn't quite get there.
Now, which one was that?
If you really love your project, are you worried that that may happen later? When royalties become a thing. And so, like, a lot of these creatives, and especially knowing that there's a writer's strike coming, and so they're probably not going to be able to continue to get paid anyway
on a lot
of these deals.
Is that why Succession is dropping earlier? Because I was like, kind of emotionally prepared for it not hitting until, like, late in the summer. And then I saw an ad, and it's like, it's coming out in March? Holy crap, that's exciting. But I also
like rushed, right?
Don't know. I don't know.
They
if
were like, shit, get it out.
I think it's like they have to kind of get it out.
I just worry about that because that's apparently one of the issues with the last season of Lost, right?
Yes.
Was that they were kind of up against a writer's strike and they're like, we got to figure something out quick. And so I still haven't seen the last season of Lost. I don't hear great things. Succession is something that I'm really excited about coming back and revisiting. And look, there is also this to be said for great TV shows is that they don't necessarily all have to run forever.
Yes.
So I kind of like creators being like, no, this is where the story should end. You're backing up the dump truck of money in my garage.
Yeah.
I don't want it. Take it somewhere else. I'll create something new. So it is nice to not overstay your welcome.
Like maintain the integrity of the plot
right.
and story and characters
and
versus
just,
like...
Be like me at a birthday party. Just come in, say hi. Irish goodbye your way out.
Yeah.
Leave him one more.
Well, as a working actor, I mean, have you heard anything? Again, it's in the Hollywood Reporter. They're talking about it. I think the earliest strike date that might be affecting people is March. And then with like a full blown, like they start negotiating in March. So that's when strike things start affecting people.
Right.
because basically once they start negotiating and figuring out how far apart people are, that's when they start making bets on how long this will take.
Yeah.
I remember in like 2007, they were so far apart when that started. Everybody knew to batten down the hatches. And that was only 100 days. That was only like a few months.
Yeah.
This one is expected to maybe go into the fall. So.
I mean, the thing is, we're always, like, you kind of just have to flow with it because truly there's always some fucking strike. Like there's always something. They're always like, COVID is shutting it down. I never worked more in my, in 2020, I worked more than any other year of my life, truly. Like, so it's like, there's always something and you just have to be like, okay, I love that for me. And it's, just like roll with it because there's always something.
It's sort of the same thing with sports too. Like being a big sports fan, you always had these like labor, you know, negotiations looming. And you hope they usually figure it out, but sometimes it you lose a couple games, or sometimes you have replacement refs for 3 weeks, and it's, you just have to like surf through it. And this is my real life is watching sports. So
I know I've been thinking a lot about it.
I know you work in Hollywood, and that's adorable. I'm at home with nothing but sports to love me my wholesome self.
With nothing but sports at home, there. Honestly, what the strike feels like to me is like Major League Baseball adding their clock. Nobody knows the rules.
The pitch clock.
Everybody's trying to figure it out as it's happening.
Wait, so he has like a timer to throw shit?
Baseball basically is boring. Sorry, I didn't say that. You know, their own officials did. That's why they initiated a clock.
They wanted to speed up the game because
it's boring.
It's more the batters because the batters, like after every pitch, they'll step out of the batter's box. They'll readjust their gloves.
So dramatic.
They're divas.
Athletes are such divas. Like it's
they
hilarious.
Are very divas. Like,
strapping
all
them
you
in.
Need to do.
Like, okay.
The minute they started filming athletes walking in on game day, all of them suddenly
became a red carpet.
Got stylists.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I'm an athlete, I do want you guys to play Succession when I come out. Always.
But my whole thing is, it's like let's be painfully obvious here. All of them are doing it. Even the ones that are quote unquote bust down and don't care, they're doing a performance too. The whole thing is camp. And if you want to know what real camp is, just see one of them the minute after they think an official will call a play in their favor. That is Academy Award level performance. Every single one of them. I would continue talking about how trash athletes are in their acting skills. I don't believe any of them. I really don't. Like, they all act on the court. Which is why I think it's so funny when people are surprised how much they lie. Like, as a woman, if you are surprised that an athlete is lying to you, when you watch them lie on national television with replay every night.
I didn't touch the ball.
Of course he's going to be like, that wasn't her. Like, legitimately? It wasn't me. Like, legitimately, the athletes are the king of it wasn't me. They do it every night at the Staples Center. It
so
wasn't me.
So you're saying maybe a prenuptial agreement would be a wise move.
At the very least.
Gotcha.
But anyway, I think that's the best advice we could give anyone listening to our podcast
Get a
today.
Prenup.
Get a prenup.
Or additionally, don't get married.
or don't get married. Either way, love is temporary, contracts are forever. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our episode of Rotten Tomatoes.
Good summation.
After Dark. We're going to open up the mailbag before we get out of here. Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, we have Ben Norris. He says he loved our Rocky IV episode, a recent one, so that's great. And it was great hearing about the 80s movies, which in my humble opinion are some of the best movies ever made.
Hear, hear, Ben.
I don't think lots disagree with you. I think lots disagree with you, but I know you have a passionate fan base. One of my favorites is the Patrick Swayze classic Roadhouse from 1989, which is 41% rotten, also featured in our book. That was me adding that. I hear a remake is in the worst. Some movies should never be remade. Anyway, thanks for the good work, and I await the next episode with excitement. Ben Norris. Grace, how you feeling about Roadhouse?
I haven't seen Roadhouse.
Treat yourself.
Is it also like the devil's movie, like my parents probably think?
No.
Your parents would have issues what happens in the barn that Patrick Swayze rents out.
I would not.
Between him and a very nice doctor. Mm-hmm. There's also a throat that gets detached from the rest of its body at one point. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Great. Oh, I'll definitely watch it.
Very shining
review.
Jacqueline, you wrote about Roadhouse.
I did not write about Roadhouse in here.
I thought you were the one defending it, and I thought we just became even better friends.
I definitely defend Roadhouse, absolutely. But I didn't write about it in the book.
She's like,
step back,
you wholesome asshole.
No.
I don't know about fighting at this bar, guys. We should probably just go home.
Honestly, for being like, again, a face of this thing, I just don't want to take credit for some shit I didn't do. Basically, something that may get accused by those.
Roadhouse gets credit. We all get credit.
We all get credit. But no, I agree with you on this one. Also, the sexiest Sam Elliott cameo.
Ooh,
that's
a voice.
That Sam Elliott cameo, I have thought that man is sexy. Since then, we'll continue. I did a Q&A for 1883, which he won a SAG Award for, I might add, ladies and gentlemen. And I was like, he could still He could get it.
He could.
Roadhouse Sam Elliott might be apex Sam Elliott in terms of the voice and the look.
Yes.
Just knocking everything out of the ballpark.
So you should have just opened with that. Yeah. Like, I'll watch it tonight.
Yeah.
No, Sam Elliott in that one is...
And Swayze in impossibly high khaki pants. I mean, they're up past his pectoral muscles.
Ass is washed.
I mean, I prefer my high-waisted, like, right at the nip as well sometimes.
Dude, ass is washed. First.
No, he's covering the nips up.
Jeans, collar.
Oh,
high top boots, okay. High top. What is it? Sneakers, like Reebok sneakers. That was the uniform for Roadhouse, and that man was supposed to be a panty dropper. Just a testament to the cinema.
And
just a testament.
Jeff Healey band playing some tunes at the bar.
Yes,
good stuff.
Our favorite diabetic jazz musician. You really do need to check this out. We are not doing it justice.
You have homework, young
Ben. Ben Norris, sir, thanks for the recommendation. I think you can go ahead and say that we are with you on that one. 40% Rotten is criminal. I think we should talk about it. Brian, you've been tasked, sir.
I love that Brian's taking these notes as we're telling Grace, like, yeah, you need to watch The Last of Us and Chernobyl, but watch Roadhouse first.
Honestly, facts.
But it's always good to, like, find new shows, new things, new movies.
This is the thing. The commitment to Roadhouse is like an hour and 45 minutes, and it will last you a lifetime. The commitment to those other ones is longer.
It's an investment.
And you might need some therapy afterwards. So although I think they're worth it.
I mean, I'm already doing that.
You
know,
but I mean, like, you might need to do like a bonus session. And as someone that just went through multiple rounds of bonus sessions, it's not as much fun. Better than a grippy sock vacation. That is it for us today. If you want to be like Ben Norris and email us at rtiswrong@rottentomatoes.com, you can. I will tell Grace all about grippy sock vacation recaps. Next, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you find this and share it with your friends. Next week, are we doing a compilation?
Yeah, and it's going to be a fun one. And I inadvertently referenced this performer earlier in the episode when I talked about meeting your dog for the first time.
Which one?
Keanu Reeves.
Oh, when did you reference
and
it?
And his entire filmography. Zaddy. The Keanu Reeves Winona Ryder wine movie that you then interviewed them for. And I was a fly on the wall for that. You did a great job as always.
Thank you.
And John Wick 4 is coming. I think, am I still seeing that tonight?
Oh my God.
It's not tonight. Oh, you may be seeing it tonight. I'm seeing it on Thursday.
I'm so excited.
I'm
just
very
text
excited.
Text me like
as well.
A thumbs up or a thumbs down.
I will do exactly that.
I know
that.
It's going to be a thumbs up.
And producer Brian texted me that the movie, I think it's close to 3 hours.
Yeah.
And that's
not long enough.
I'm not going to complain about that. Provided we still toe the line of we let the franchise get away with the first dog thing, and now we're past it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I fast forward through it.
Dude, I put John Wick, because I haven't seen the original in like probably since it came out in theaters. I loved it. I just hadn't gone back and revisited. It's a goddamn beagle.
Oh, it's...
And I'm watching, and I'm like, Molly is snoring, and I'm like, oh my God.
I cover their eyes.
Oh God, it was rough.
Yeah, that's what that stuff breaks me.
By the way, though, I do know this from the DVD. They spent a long time choosing that dog. They needed a dog
bastard.
That you literally, if you thought about somebody hurting it, this is what they said. It had to be a dog so cute that if you thought of someone hurting it, you would want to murder them. And if you were a regular, and they're like, and we tested test audiences with that very question.
Did they test test audiences
they
or did
like,
they torture test
they
audiences?
They tested them with like, tested
vacation.
Them with like pictures of the dog. Like...
All right, well, John Wick 4, 3 hours of great action. Hopefully no dogs meet their... I can't imagine
John
they will,
Wick.
But knock on wood.
You never know. You never know. They could be looking for
That'd
a reset.
Be low.
That would be low, but let's
I'd
be honest.
I'd be so pissed. People will like, scream. Like, they will literally be like, bah! Like, people will go crazy. We'll have a strike for that.
I will leave the theater.
Yeah. Honestly,
and I will text you a thumbs down.
I hate to say it, but if that's the rule, they've already had success killing the dog and people still liking the movie, which is
normally
the rule. So, like...
I don't think they would do it twice.
You gotta root so hard. Like, I was rooting even harder for John Wick rewatching than I was initially. And now with part four... And by the way, John Wick is gonna be the headline. That's why we're talking about Keanu Reeves' filmography. I know what movie you're going to bring up, Jacqueline.
Speed.
No.
Classic.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk
I
about
I know the movie you're going to bring
okay.
up.
We're going to talk about Constantine. I want to thank Miss Heather Grace Hancock. Again, she is an actress, performer. You can catch her on things like NCIS, SWAT, Criminal Minds. Where can folks find you online, ma'am?
They can find me online everywhere, probably not being wholesome, at Mrs. Graceface.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, Holly.
We also have Mr. Mark Ellis, Brian Perez, everyone here at the studio. We want to thank you all for watching, and we will see you next time.